Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Planning your next trip? Choice Hotels' family of 22 brands has over 7,400 locations and the perfect hotel for any traveler you want to be. Like a Cambria Hotel, serving up locally inspired craft cocktails for all my folks who maybe want to meet up and talk about Mad Royals. Check into a Radisson Hotel with flexible workspaces for you strivers who listen during business travel. Or a Comfort Hotel with free hot breakfast, family-friendly pools, and big spacious rooms for the parents who listen with their kids and need a little retreat. What are you waiting for? Join Choice Privileges and start earning points toward your next stay. Find a stay for any you when you book direct at choicehotels.com, where travels come true.
I'm Tracy from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Are you a small business owner or even someone who dreams of entrepreneurship? Then check out season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from iHeart Podcasts and Intuit QuickBooks. Join hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres as they interview entrepreneurs sharing insights around starting and nurturing a small business. You won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too.
Welcome to Stuff You Missed in History Class, a production of iHeartRadio. Hello and happy Friday. I'm Holly Fry.
And I'm Tracy V. Wilson.
So we talked about advent calendars this week.
We did.
Just something I have been wanting to talk about for a while. It's a little bit tricky because the story of their invention gets told everywhere every year, right? Like NPR has a story about it that they seem to just be updating year after year and rerunning. A lot of news outlets run a very abbreviated version of it. A lot of even places that sell things like flowers and chocolates run a version of it. A lot of those cite that 1908 date over and over, and there's no nuance there of like, nah, it's not quite accurate. But I sure love an advent calendar. Do you do them usually?
So when we started talking about doing this episode, I was like, did we really do advent calendars at my household when I was a kid? We had an advent wreath with the four candles and the one candle in the middle, meaning Christmas.
Right.
At our house, that was a decorative item. The candles were not lit.
Gotcha. Were they, can I ask you this? Uh-huh. You were not raised Catholic.
No.
What color were the candles?
I feel like the candles, the four candles representing the four Sundays in Advent were red, and the central candle representing Christmas was white.
Gotcha. Because like a Catholic one, it's like, well, if you're at church, it's purple, purple, pink, purple. They all have meanings. But then when you see commercial ones, like I remember we didn't really do advent calendars or even advent wreaths growing up. But I remember there being purple and red candles in one of my mom's little things. And I never understood because those purple didn't seem like a Christmas color to me.
Yeah.
Until I was older and then was like, oh, because that's part of the Catholic like vestments, etc. Like that color is associated with it.
I'm also going to revise my statement. I feel like maybe that might have been a wreath that had beeswax candles, which may have been a reason that they were not actually lit. I grew up in a place that had a Moravian community that had a lot of beeswax candles associated with things done at Christmas, and they tended to be kind of expensive. We had one at church that definitely, like, the candles were lit every Sunday along with the other candles that were lit by the acolyte. And, like, I don't remember specifically doing an Advent. I have vague memories where I'm like, am I remembering that we actually had an Advent calendar? Or is my memory splicing it together from descriptions of things? It has felt to me like in the last few years, there has then been this proliferation of all kinds of different Advent calendars. And I have usually thought about it too late, and ones that have sounded interesting to me have been sold out. While we were in Barcelona, there was a Carrefour market that was my go-to place to get snacks and water and stuff. And the first time I walked in there, there was this whole display of advent calendars, and there was specifically a Kit Kat advent calendar.
Yes.
And I very nearly bought a Kit Kat advent calendar, and I did not for two reasons. One reason is that I know my spouse and me, we would have eaten that entire advent calendar, and then we would have, our bodies would have felt very bad. I know this about myself. I would have been like, now I have to lie down in this hotel room because I ate.
Oh, you would have eaten it in one go.
Yeah,
all at once. Advent style.
No, not Advent style. We would have just destroyed it in the hotel room in Barcelona, and then we would have been sick, and we would have. It was like, no. And then the other reason was, had we managed to not do that, the size and shape of the thing was just not going to fit in luggage well to get it back home.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's sometimes the trick. We So I did not do advent calendars growing up at all. And I don't know if that was like a thing that just didn't occur to my parents, or if they were probably like, that seems like it will make a mess.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the logic was there to it.
Yeah.
As an adult, I'm obsessed.
What we did that I do definitely for sure remember was for Lent and not Advent. And our church had a Lenten fair at the beginning of Lent every year. We did all these Lent activities. And one of the things that we did was to make a paper chain that we would tear off one link of the chain every day of Lent. And it was made to look like a caterpillar. And when we got to the last one on Easter, the caterpillar's face would sort of open up and it would become a butterfly.
Oh.
That I super remember. And I'm like, did we ever actually do some kind of like an advent calendar thing? My dad for a while had a tradition that he did of like giving my mom a Christmas ornament every day of December leading up to Christmas, which was very sweet, but was not like arranged into a calendar, really.
Here are my picks for best advent calendars of all time.
Great.
I have a weird relationship with, I wouldn't say this goes on the best list, but it merits mentioning, Lego advent calendars.
Mm-hmm.
And here's why. I love them in theory, but sometimes because it is a small thing, it's like three pieces and you really got to use your imagination to be like, oh, this is what that is. which is fine. Our grocery store, I picked one of these up a couple years ago, and now it's like, I can't imagine going into December without them. They do a Cheeses of the World one.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that's like a controlled substance at my house. That's
sure.
Like,
very into cheese at our house, too.
I buy two a year because some days the cheese is so good, I want a second piece of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want more. I want more cheese. Delicious. Highly recommend Cheese of the Year. My number one favorite advent calendar of all time is the Star Wars Droid Factory advent calendar, where you get a piece a day to build little 3¾ action figure scale droids.
Uh-huh.
That are in Christmas colors. Sometimes they have additional kooky accessories, like a little hat made of holly or a little like a nutcracker look to their design. Obsessed. It came out last year. It was one of the best things I did last year. I was hoping they would do a new version of it this year, and they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same version, which is fine, but I want more droids. Droids are like one of my favorite parts of Star Wars. So like that is, I will be on my deathbed talking about how great that advent calendar is.
Absolutely. Sounds like somebody said, what advent calendar should we make for Holly Fry?
I know the only way they could maybe make it a little more specifically Holly Fry-ness is if it were somehow related to Greedo and other Rodians. That's the mm-hmm. only way they could make it more perfectly tailored to my Star Wars obsessions. That's a fun one. I love them. There's also a Life Day one that came out last year for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Life Day being the primary holiday in the Star Wars universe that is associated with kind of the wintry holidays, which is originated on Kashyyyk. It's a Wookiee holiday where you celebrate love and joy and peace.
Mm-hmm.
And they did a really fun reusable one last year that's like a pop-up calendar where you open each door and they're all ornaments on this beautiful tree, because the whole idea is that it's centered around trees.
again, Kashyyyk Wookiees, very tree-oriented. Mm-hmm. And that one is very beautiful, and I love it. I always find myself, though, going, should I count back the 24 days before Life Day, which is November 17th, or or the just start it on December 1st and make it like a Christmas thing? And I will say that was a very good exercise that made it so clear to me when I was working on this episode why you would just say, just make it December 1st to 24th.
Right.
There are times when I'm like, did I open one today? I don't know. These numbers don't correspond to any calendar date that I know, so I'm not sure. Advent calendars.
Yeah.
Oh, I love them. They're so fun. I am a big fan of, you know, gifts that last.
Yeah.
Gifts that keep on giving. Give them to yourself. It's great. Oh, that Droid Factory Advent calendar. Make another one. Make one that's just Galaxy's Edge themed. Make all of the Star Wars Advent calendars. I'm here for it. If you started an Advent calendar this year, I hope it's going really fun. If you got the cheeses one, yum. I mean, you can get them for anything, right? You can get them for whiskey. You can get them for wine. You can get them for etc. And wine is my segue because you were mentioning your mom and her sisters
having their
Diet Mountain Dew and White Zinfandel.
I don't know where this came from.
Well, here's the thing, though, right? We just, it's been now a month. We were in Barcelona. There are a couple of their drinks that mix things with soda and wine combined,
mm-hmm.
right? The Calimocho, which is very popular with some members of our group, is Coke and red wine. Just interesting taste. I'm not a big wine drinker, but I could see where that might make it more drinkable to me. I mean, I tried it. And they also do the Tinta di Verano, which is a white wine with a lemon soda.
Okay.
And has fruit and stuff in it. So, like, your mom and her sisters were really just being very European, is what I'm telling you now. That's where I landed. I remember you telling me about this drink several years ago, and I was like, what? And now I'm like, maybe they're onto something.
I vaguely remember telling you about this many years ago, and the response from you being,
yuck.
I don't even know the right words, but it was not something that was like, oh, it was more like, huh?
Now I've turned a corner.
So now post Barcelona, and I somehow missed this whole category of drinks in Barcelona.
You did?
Yeah. I don't know how.
I don't know either. Cause like, I feel like members of our group were yelling it out at every dinner. Like, do you have Calimocho? And some restaurants don't serve it and some do.
Yeah. I tried a lot of things that were new to me while we were in Barcelona, and that was just not one.
Oh, man. The Tinta di Verano I preferred, which is interesting because I'm not a big wine drinker. I liked that one a little bit more than the Calimocho, but I'm working on a variation on a Calimocho that I will report back if it is successful or not.
Okay.
Really, this is a good excuse to just like play with sodas and wines, I guess. I know. And you and I did an event recently where we were gifted a small bottle of wine,
mm-hmm.
and I did not drink mine there on that trip. So I took it home with me and I'm going to use it in one of my experiments. So I'll report back.
I'm Tracy V. Wilson from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Did you know small businesses make up 99.9% of all businesses in the United States? The world is powered by entrepreneurs, and if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks. And every episode, hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres talk to entrepreneurs about how they've grown from the lessons of launching and nurturing a small business, and how they have found success being their own boss. From the excitement of first starting out to finding the right tools and resources to process invoices and payments like QuickBooks Money, you won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too. And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks.
Protect your dream home with American Family Insurance. And you can weather any storm. You'll also save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote. Find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. Now, this is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200%ers. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. If you ever felt like you were always too much this while also never being enough that, this is the podcast for you. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more via my own personal stories, along with interviews with inspiring thought leaders from our community. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community that you need to know. So much of what makes our community so beautiful is our diversity, yet too often, those of us who don't fit into this dumb, stereotypical box of whatever it means to be Latino are left without a voice or just forgotten about. On this show, I celebrate the uniqueness of our culture and invite you to walk in your authenticity. Listen to Life as a Gringo as a part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We had installment number two of episodes inspired by the trip to Barcelona, this one being Montjuic Castle. I talked about getting up there by going on a funicular and an aerial cable car.
Yeah.
That's not the only way to get up there. We as a group also went up there in a bus, on sort of a bus tour of part of Barcelona, before we went to, I think, Parc Güell.
That's correct.
And we sort of stopped and had a photo op. It was a different part of Montjuic than where the castle actually is. Also, Patrick and I were going to, we had decided this was a thing that we were going to do on our free day in Barcelona. I had kind of worked out the route of how we were going to get there. Going to the funicular, there are signs on the floor of the hallway, which is kind of a long hallway, that tell you from this point, it is this many minutes to the funicular.
Right.
And I was like, how popular is this funicular, man? It's because the stadium is up there. So on game days, a lot of people get up there via public transportation.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And so this is sort of a, you know, how much longer are you waiting for the funicular to get up to the stadium? I also did, I think this was also not on our free day, but on the day we left to come back home. Our flight out of Barcelona was not until something like 6:45 p.m. So we had the morning to continue to spend in Barcelona. And we went to like one last museum. And on the way there, I noticed Hebrew on a wall. And I was like, oh, what, like, what's this? Are we in, like, are we in the Jewish quarter? Like, I found like walking around streets in Barcelona to sometimes be very confusing, and I would realize I was in a different neighborhood than I thought I was in, and I was like, is that where we are? And then I realized after working on this episode that no, that was somebody's gravestone that was stolen and used to build a wall. And I was like, well, that was a horrifying realization to have about Hebrew that I saw as I,
yeah,
I don't read Hebrew. I don't know what it said.
Yeah. This kind of goes along with what we've been saying in our discussions of our Barcelona inspired episodes, that there are so many things that we have never heard about that are in some cases wonderful. Like we talked about the art that, mm-hmm, that we had never seen. And then something like this that you would think that is a horrific enough idea that you would think it would have come up in something somewhere,
mm-hmm,
you know, as much history as we've researched, like there are those moments like that where it's like not what you're talking about or researching, but it pops up as a note because it relates to something else. And this seems like such an ideological atrocity that it would have come up somewhere, but it didn't.
Right. Well, and we had, we reran our episode on Francisco Franco as Saturday classic ahead of this episode coming out, which I think I had meant to mention in the episode itself, just as a sort of that was, we just re-aired this if people want more information. And I don't think we mentioned the Carlist Wars at all in that episode, because the episode was really more about like Francisco Franco and his life and then his specifically role in all of that.
Right.
In hindsight, I was like, oh, wow, there was a whole very long series of like just internal division and strife and a series of Carlist civil wars that like I didn't even touch on in that earlier episode. Also didn't really mention Catalonia much at all. There's like a side mention of Catalonia being sort of the last major Republican stronghold outside of Madrid to fall. So yeah, I found this episode very challenging to work on, because even though I had been there and I had seen this place and I had like read these museum signs, I was still like, there's gigantic holes in what I understand about the context of this. And it's not stuff we've ever talked about on the show before. So we need to talk about all of it. And at some point I sent this text to my friend Amy, who is a history teacher with a master's degree. And I think I said something like, why is the War of the Spanish Succession so messy? And I was afraid that there was going to turn out that I just was.
She was going to be
not
like
smart enough.
Why are you so stupid? Stupid.
Yeah. Well, and no, she was like, it is enormously messy. And I think we've said on the show before, it's never my preference to do an episode where I'm going to have to talk about 27 monarchs who are all named the same thing.
Yeah.
And that's what I accidentally got into with this. I'm Tracy V. Wilson from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Did you know small businesses make up 99.9% of all businesses in the United States? The world is powered by entrepreneurs, and if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks. And every episode, hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres talk to entrepreneurs about how they've grown from the lessons of launching and nurturing a small business, and how they have found success being their own boss. From the excitement of first starting out to finding the right tools and resources to process invoices and payments like QuickBooks Money, you won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too. And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. Now, this is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200%ers. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. If you ever felt like you were always too much this while also never being enough that, this is the podcast for you. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more via my own personal stories, along with interviews with inspiring thought leaders from our community. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community that you need to know. So much of what makes our community so beautiful is our diversity, yet too often, those of us who don't fit into this dumb, stereotypical box of whatever it means to be Latino are left without a voice or just forgotten about. On this show, I celebrate the uniqueness of our culture and invite you to walk in your authenticity. Listen to Life as a Gringo as a part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is an NAACP and Webby Award-winning podcast dedicated to all things mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. Here, we have the conversations that help Black women decipher how their past inform who they are today and use that information to decide who they want to be moving forward. We chat about things like how to establish routines that center self-care, what burnout looks and feels like, and defining what aspects of our lives are making us happy and what parts are holding us back. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. take good care, and we'll see you there.
I also have a little story that's about Barcelona that has nothing to do with this at all. I am a person who likes gazpacho. Yeah. I know not everyone is into the cold soup.
You and Lisa Simpson.
Yeah, I love it. I love gazpacho.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
I don't think so.
Where she pitches having gazpacho and people kind of look at her. I think it's in the same episode as You Don't Win Friends with Salad. Where she's like, it's a tomato soup served ice cold. And everyone like looks at her like, no.
Yeah. When all the ingredients for it are in season, I will buy them at the farmer's market and I will make myself this like delicious fresh gazpacho. But like sometimes I want it and I don't have the ingredients and I don't want to make it because like it's better when you chill it afterward. So what I want is to just be able to walk into the grocery store and there's gazpacho in the refrigerator section. And that does not exist in grocery stores here in the United States where I live. And in the same Carrefour market that I mentioned, I think in the behind the scenes of our other Barcelona episode, I went there one day to get some water and some snacks. Usually I just bring a water bottle with me when I travel and I fill it up in the sink, but I found the water in our hotel to taste a little chlorine-y for my taste. And so I was buying bottled water. And as I was going to the checkout, I saw the sign out of the corner of my eye over refrigerator section that said gazpacho. And I was like, I'm going to have to come back specifically to look. Cause I would like, I had somewhere to be at that. Like I did not have time to stop what I was doing. I was like, I'm gonna have to come back and investigate that. And it was a whole refrigerator, like a whole grocery store refrigerator of varieties of gazpacho just there to purchase.
It was your dream world.
It was. I was so excited. And there was like a little 3-pack of sort of single serving size of gazpacho that I purchased, and they charged me something like €2.06. And I was like, that has to be wrong.
My dreams just came true for €2.
And I brought it back with me and I put it in the little fridge in our room. And like, I won each day for the rest of the trip, like, just had myself a gazpacho snack directly from the refrigerator section. I loved it so much. And I know that's a ridiculous thing to be that excited about. But boy, I was like, a dream came true for me that day with gazpacho in the refrigerator section.
Did you just tell me it's ridiculous to be excited about finding an iteration of your favorite food that is readily available and inexpensive?
I did. And when I said it, I saw the look on your face and I was like, like, that was a weird...
I'm like, this is the most important thing.
Most important thing. Refrigerator gazpacho.
Up there, right? Like, I'm not into gazpacho, but I know this exact experience of, like, there's a thing that you long for and you cannot find, and then somewhere has it easily accessible.
Right there. Yeah.
Now, has the off-ramp been painful to suddenly be back in the U.S. and not have access to 2-pound gazpacho that's delicious?
No, because when we got back home, the switch had flipped to winter.
Oh, perfect.
And I no longer want to eat cold soup. I now want like enormous amounts of ramen. That would be preferable. It's for the gazpacho is a summertime thing. And it was November when we were in Barcelona, but it was still warm enough, especially by comparison to Massachusetts, that, yeah, I was very excited about my gazpacho.
That's wonderful. I had no idea this was happening in your life. While the rest of us were drinking Cali Mocho, you were having a gazpacho revelation.
Yes. So, yes. Hey, you know, if you like gazpacho in the wintertime, or if you're in the Southern Hemisphere and you want some gazpacho right now, I hope you're able to get it or make it or whatever. Whatever's coming up on your weekend, I hope that's good too. We'll be back with a Saturday Classic tomorrow and something new on Monday. Stuff You Missed in History Class is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts,
the medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.